Blog Talk Radio.
Careful what the things
you do and say you go. Oh, good God Almighty. That alone right there be preachable. Oh, glory to God. Thank you all for tuning in to the Time of Transfer. As we have said many times, where God is moving in ministry. Oh, be careful of the things you say and the places you go. I think the soul writer also said, if you dig one ditch, you better dig another one. Good God Almighty. Somebody shout glory around me today. Oh, Jesus, have your way up in this place, Holy Ghost. Man, I'm excited to be back. Now, I don't know about anybody else, but sometimes you got to understand, you got to be careful. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Who am I talking to here today? Oh, thank you. Oh, let me just get into this here. I must tell you all that I have been on a mission for the Lord, and I have been from one city to the next. And I thank all of you all that has been a part of the different revivals and the speaking engagement. I do not take your time lightly. I just say thank you for being supportive. But most important of all, I want you all to understand is that I get all your prayer requests and all your support. You could continue to send it in at 3327 15 Court North, Birmingham, Alabama, 35234, and that's Up Top Ministries. Or you could continue to email us, and you can do whatever you want to. We ask you all continue to be partners, and we don't stop you from sowing. You can sow whatever God has placed on your heart to do. We don't give you a number. We don't give a price, and because whatever God is dealing with you with, you are handling your own business. It's not up to us to just tell you what you need to do. I thank God for favor. Good God Almighty. Now, with all this in mind, let me just do something here. I need to go to the throne of grace and pray for God's people before we get into this lesson today. Is a very important lesson. I want you to tell everybody that you can contact to tune into the lesson this week. I'm telling you, it is a powerful lesson, and God has done something to the man of God through the revivals that is unbelievable. And I think at this particular time, I need to share these things with you all. Oh, Heavenly Father, right now, in the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you, Father, for another opportunity to come before the throne of grace, bold and courageous for your people. Father, there are some that are under attack. There are some that have lack. There are some that need just a personal touch from you. God, right now, whatever the ministry is, whatever the cause, whatever the circumstance, whatever the situation is that are facing your people, Father, we ask you right now, Father, to rain down fresh anointing on them right now, Father. Oh, God, right now, shower them with a double portion of your grace, Father. Continue to shower us with your mercy, God. Oh, God, right now, you said the mercies was new this morning, and they was consumed in your compassion. Greater is thy faithfulness. So, God, right now, in the mighty name of Jesus, we say thank you for the move, Father. Thank you for what you have done. Thank you for what you are doing right now, Father, as we position ourselves to receive for you. Father, we just say glory to your name, Father. Emmanuel, marvelous, Father. We just say thank you, Lord. Oh, God, in Jesus' name, this is our prayer. Amen. Oh, hey, hallelujah here. Hey, Shana, glory to God. Thank you, Lord. My. I got to tell you all, we're in the book of Hosanna, right? And what I want you all to do is go to Hosea, chapter 1, verse 2. We're going to start from the beginning. We're going to go there, and I want you to go there. But I want to talk about him right quickly, give us some history. The Lord remind me to explain the men and women of God to his people. Hosea was the son of Bear, a prophet in Israel in what, the 8th century BC. And he was the author of the book of what a prophecy bearing his name. He was one of the 12 prophets of God, after he gets some stuff off us, after he do his work, after he clean us up, he restore us back in our rightful place. Oh, good. I got to talk to somebody today that need to understand it. They need to feel the presence of the Lord. And he also claimed that he was one of the greatest prophets of his generation. In the period of Hosanna's ministry, extended to, what, some 60 years. And he was the only prophet of Israel who left any written prophecy. Oh, that's important now. See, because his name means what? Salvation. Or he saves. Or he helps. And it seems to have not been, well, uncommon, but derived from the, what that specific verb in which we have frequently required the word salvation. Oh, so I need to go there with you all so we can understand this in this life as we get ready to move into a whole new era of God's work. And as we look at this in Hosanna 1, let's start from Hosanna 1. And the word of the Lord came to the son of Bear during the region of Israel, Jonah and Asa, and Hezekiah, the king of Judah, and during the reign of Jeroboam, the son of Jehoash, the king of Israel. Hosanna. And when the Lord began to speak through Hosanna, the Lord said unto him, go, marry a presentable woman and have children with her, for like an adultery wife, this land is guilty of unfaithfulness to the Lord. So he married Goma, the daughter of Dada, and she conceived and bore him a son. Then, verse 4 saying, then the Lord said to Hosanna, call him Zebri, because I will soon punish the house of Jerah for the massacre at Zerid, and I will put an end to the kingdom of Israel. Verse 5 say, in that day I will break Israel bow in the valley of Zerid. I want you to understand something. We don't put a pin right there. We want to stop right there. And our topic for today's lesson, those who are listening in, tuning in from all over the world, I want you to understand something here, and I want you to grasp this thing. Some things are hard to come back from. Good God of mine. I want you to understand this here. Some things you do are hard to come back from. Good God of mine. Oh, somebody needs to shout glory around me today. See, let me just explain where we are today. See, when you look at the things that you face in your life, and you look at what God has brought you out of miry clay, out of the pits of hell, those who have God has brought from these things and has brought you also from Lodabar, you look at some of them things are hard to come from. Good God of mine. Sometimes, right, when you look at the things that you have faced, you look at the trials, you look at the circumstances that you have faced in your life, even in bad relationships, some of this stuff is hard to come back from. See, because you have given your all. Not only you have given your all, you have become emotional attached to them. And you spend time, years of disattachment. And since you have put so much time in it, and your time has come with effort, it was a give and take situation for you in most instances. And since most times it's hard to come back from, good God of mine, you still have remnants of the things that you have been through in your life. I'm telling you all, better catch me on this here. Now, I got to speak what the Holy Ghost is telling me here. I'm going back to something. I'm going to get back to this here. But see, some stuff in your life, right, that only God can bring you out of. You have tried everything that's possible in your mind to try to shake yourself free from it. And you still have remnants of that stuff. And you find yourself in some form or shape or fashion repeating the same stuff that you repeated that you thought you got over. I'm talking about something here. See, when we look at this here, we got to understand that's a spiritual lesson that God is trying to get us to understand here. See, when he told Hosea to go and marry a presumptive woman, a prostitute, a woman in the world, when he told him to go do this, it was in reminding of, he was telling him, he was showing him, I hear you, Holy Ghost. He was showing him how Israel was treating him at that time. Sometimes we're in relationship, sometimes we're in ministry, sometimes we're on our job, even our children at times remind us of how the world has treated us. Somebody shout glory around me here today. I got to try to teach this. I feel a different anointing on this lesson today. I've been waiting for God to release me to come back and get here in front of his people. See, you got to understand some things here. I was in lesson in Saturday morning manner. I come out of Saturday morning manner with a mistaken identity. For God has told me, I see, I'm going somewhere with this. You pay attention to this here. With a mistaken identity, where God was showing me that the people, his people today, not just back then, but today, has him a mistaken identity. We have learned so many things. We have programmed ourselves from years and centuries on serving God 1 or 2 days out of a week. Good God Almighty. And the next 4 or 5 days, we give to the world. But only God may get 2 days. And sometimes he may get 3. It all depends on if that's the program. But for the most part, we only give God the max majority of us 4 to 5 days out of a week. And the rest of the days, we only give God 2 to 3 days out of a week. And the rest of the week, we give to the world. Oh, Jesus. Y'all don't hear me here. So, in other words, God's saying that you are worshiping the world more than you are spending worshiping him. In other words, your time has been consumed in the world. And what the world has programmed you to what it's called a need. And since you has a need according to the world, I'm talking to somebody, I'm in the lesson, that your whole focus has went now to the world. When it come time for you to worship God, you don't want to worship. First thing you say, I don't need to hear what the preacher's saying today. Or the woman, I don't want to hear that preacher. I don't want to do nothing. I don't want to do no Bible study. I got my own prayer life. You are dooming yourself to go straight to hell. It will be more religious people in the fire than you can ever imagine. Because God requires for you to go all the way in depth with him, not a casual prayer life, not a casual reading, not this old thing y'all do 5, 10, 15 minutes out of the day and going about your business and then try to compete with each other in the world. You have not been consumed in the world. If you go back and look in the Bible and look at it biblically, I don't care what nobody say, the word of God has not changed from thousands of years. It will not bend, it will not curve, it will not break. It's going to go straight forward, and that is it. Stop trying to make the word fit your situation. You need to make your situation stand with what the words say. So here we go, right? See, he tells the man of God that Israel, right? Israel has treated him like the what? The persona woman, and had children with her. In other words, every time that you do what you do, I'm speaking to somebody. This is beyond got your natural self, and hear this thing biblically. If you look at your kid, each one of your child, I hear your Holy Ghost, I mean, I can speak for myself. Each one of my children remind me of something I did. Happy Holy Ghost here. Did you all hear this here? When you look at this thing here, each one of your children remind you of something you have done. Ooh. Some of us won't agree, but some of us will catch this right off the bat. Say, I don't know what is girl get this attitude from? What are you acting like this from? What happened? Well, you need to go back and read the book. You need to go back and read. See, God is dealing with us with how we dealt with him. Jesus. Ooh, Jesus. Somebody shout glory around me. Let me get to this lesson. Wow. Jesus, help me, Holy Ghost. So, our lesson states, right, that some things are hard to come back from. I want to share this with you. The more we seek and the more personal gain we try to get, it comes with more and spiritual degeneration, cyclical and materialistic things that we come apart, capture the hearts of us, and sin run rapidly in our life. Y'all don't want to talk to me. The list of the 21st century America, as I stated earlier, swear, lying, killing, stealing, adultery, drunkenness, pervertedness, perjury, deceitfulness, oppression, the name, and that's just a few I named. But I can go on and on with this here. But the thing that grieved the heart of God more than anything else was the sin of idol, the worshiping. See, we come to a point where we worship things more than we worship God, and we become idol worship. We got to understand this thing. When we look at Hosanna 4 and 12, and verse 13 and 13 and 2, it's in it. See, the people of children of Israel at this particular time, they had what, golden calf set up by Jeroboam. And if I'm not mistaken, right, about 150 years earlier, had opened the floodgates to what every evil expression of the Canaanite idol included: drunkenness, religious prostitution, and human sacrifice. See, we have to be careful. Very, very, very careful on how we do ministry. That's a lot of ministries right now set up in the same fashion. There are a lot of men and women of God are very close. They are walking on a thin line. Some are already there to this particular incident. See, if we're not careful, religious prostitution and the human sacrifice in ministry will overcome with the true intent of ministry that God has put his people to do. When we look at, I gotta be honest. I gotta give you what God has given me here at this particular time. We are so close to this, to the unreal. When you look at this lesson today, get out your niggas, get out your little self, and get in the spiritual realm and see what God is telling us about the heart of his people today and how sin is running rampant with them, with us today, and how we seek for personal gain and and the moral and the spiritual generation that has pulled us apart from God. Look at the perverted world that is going on today, the perversion, the adultery, the drunkenness, the killing, the stealing, the lying, the swearing. This ain't nothing that Elder Tony is making up. You need to ask yourself, Lord, why did you send me to the lesson today at a time like this in my life? What are you trying to tell me about myself? It's a powerful lesson. All this lesson so strong. Man, y'all don't understand. Since the Lord viewed Israel as his wife, hear this now. Y'all got to get with me. Since the Lord viewed Israel as his wife, he viewed her worshiping of other God as spiritual adultery. See, when you start doing this foolishness in church and ministry, God look at you and view you as worshiping other God. See, some are so close to witchcraft and the spirit of what we got, so many demon spirits and so much of money stuff that we are doing in ministry. We can look at each other and you want to know why ministry is not growing. I mean, you got to be careful, even with your prayer lines. If so much the money stuff comes on these prayer lines, to a lame reel, I rebuke this stuff right now in the name of Jesus. If you got a prayer line, you're supposed to be an intercessor for the people and pray and tarry until they get the breakthrough. Every man of God that comes on the prayer line, God did not give you a word to say. If you're on the prayer line, you come because you're seeking prayer yourself. And if you've been asked by another man or woman of God to come on the prayer line, to be a part, then that's something that God is trying to tell you about yourself. Not only about yourself, but about the people you are connected to. Oh, y'all don't want to talk to me here. This lesson here sets the tone to what is going on right now in the 21st century. See, the Old Testament speaks frequently of Israel hoeing after or playing with hermit with other gods. You don't believe me? Look in the book of Deuteronomy, the 31st chapter, verse 16, and the book of Judges, 2 and verse 17. See, Jehovah God had told Israel from the beginning that he would not share her with others. You got to understand this here. When you come back to the throne of Christ, back to the kingdom, God ain't about to share you with the devil. Oh, good God, I'm out. None of this foolishness that you do, you either going to live holy and righteous or you're not going to live at all. Somebody shout glory here today. Oh, let me get into this here. You shall have no other God before me. The first of the 10th great commandment that he did in the book of Exodus 20:3. But she had persistent ignore his command. See, Israel at the time, I got to talk to you. I'm going to bring this all the way to 21st century. See, Israel at the time persistently ignore the word of God. Look at the 21st century. Look at the time that you are living in today. We are persistently ignoring the word of God. Good God Almighty. God ain't through with us yet. Somebody said, we're living in our last days. Well, you are living in your last days when you don't do what God asks you to do. But my Bible tells me, and I'm going to say this, and I say it so proudly, no man know the time nor the day when the Lord shall come. There has been signs and wonders even when Jesus was out doing his ministry. Rumors of wars, earthquakes, and all of this. What's going on during the time? But at the same time, Jesus told us so plain, why are you worrying about what's coming tomorrow when you need to take care of what you have today? Oh, Jesus. Ooh, did y'all hear this here? Why are you putting so much focus on tomorrow when you need to address your situation today? See, your situation today need a change. Lord have mercy, I normally lose a whole lot of people. Well, if I lose you all, that means that the Lord has shaken some stuff off of me. Good God Almighty. He said, but she was persistent, ignoring his command. And by the days of Jeroboam the second, the situation was intolerable. God was about to speak divisively. And he chose the first, a prophet named what? Amos. Don't get this. You got to hear this here. He chose first a prophet named Amos, the former herdsman of Tekoa, thundering God's warning, an impairment judgment. But the nation paid little attention. So God spoke again, this time through the prophet Hosea, who named me Jehovah is salvation. I tell people all the time, salvation is a gift. Faith is a gift. When God sends you a gift, you need to grab hold to the gift. Good God Almighty. The very first thing God ever said to Hosanna tells us about his unlikely marriage. Right? So God takes to himself what? Go and take to yourself a wife of 100 and have children of 100, for the land commit pagan humming, forsaking the Lord, according to what? Hosanna 1 and 2. Hosea 1 and 2. These instructions have been virus understood by what? Different students of the scripture throughout the years. And my study continues to go on with this. I'm compelled to tell you that as you research and as you go into the Word of God, that is a realm of word, as you know well, that God has in the Word. You cannot receive the Word that God has for you with religious thoughts, brief, ideology, psychology, and doctrine. You'll miss it every time. You have to go and try to get and listen to the Lord and allow the Lord to minister to your heart so that you can get the biblical content of the Word. It'll stand even stronger. You'll be able to understand this here. So some believe in this particular verses that we were 1 through 5, some believe that God was commanding Hosanna to what? Marry a woman who was former being a prostitute, right? Let's contend that in the study that taking a wife or hermit would merely refer to marrying a woman from the northern kingdom of Israel, a land which was guilty of spiritual adultery. In either case, as you continue to read and study as well as I've done with this particular lesson, it is very obvious that she was a woman who has been deeply affected by the mores and laxing of her society. And God intent to use the prophet personal, listen to this now, personal relationship with her as a premeditated object lesson of his own relationship with his unfaithful people. There are some times that God has put us in situations to get us to understand what it means to be out of the will of God. Jesus. You're going to catch that day then. There are some times that God will put us in a situation so that we can see what it means to be out of the will of God. In other words, to give us a statement where we have to catch on to see exactly what he is talking about. So in this case, we find that God is making a statement about how unfaithful Israel is to him at this particular time. And when we look at the 21st century, and we see how unfaithful the world is today to God, very much unfaithful like Israel during this time. And God is sending the word at this particular time so his people can be aware that he is paying attention to what they are doing. And their unfaithfulness, he's not going to tolerate much longer. Somebody shout glory here to me today. So whatever her past, there may be being some evidence of genuine repent as faith in Jehovah. You got to understand this here. See, God will use an object. Jesus did this in his description, in his parable. He always used the object. He always described what was going on, and he used the object. And when he used the object to bring about his message, right, the objective allows us to see even more of what God, the true intent of the word that God was giving us. Somebody shout glory around me here today. You brought me back, Lord, but you brought me back in a mighty way. Maybe she had the responded to a spiritual field ministry of Hosanna himself, and she found his heart drawn to her in a deep and unselfish love. God directed him to take her as his wife, right? And so it was that Gomer, the daughter of Dibon, became the unlikely wife of the budding young preacher. Oh, good God Almighty. Oh, Jesus. See, that's some things, right? As I say often, right? That's some things in your life that it's going to be hard to come from. It is that God used a woman that been in the world. As she's been in the world, that's some situations and circumstances that later in this marriage that you're going to see that she still faced. She still ain't overcome them. And that's some things that is, you know, that's some things that's just hard to come back from. It has to take God to bring us back for some of the mess that we're still carrying from previous relationship, previous mistrust, previous abuse, previous situation in ministry. There are some things that it's going to only take God to clean us up from. We're still carrying it. I don't care what we say. We still have our intuition. We still have thoughts on things of old. And when we get ourselves in a situation like that before, the first thing goes in our mind is the remembrance of what has happened to us in the past. And once we open that can of worms once again, we are struggling to overcome it again. Somebody shout glory around me here. Some things are just hard to come back from. I know I'm talking to somebody here. So when we look at this here, this in particular relationship, right, the early days of their marriage was what? Beautiful, and their love began to blossom, right? In the beginning. understanding, right? Some of you all been married for a long time. Some of you can understand this. Even in ministry, the ministry start out good. Even on your job, everything start out good. See, I got to go to you in the world so you can understand this here, so you can catch the spiritual intent of this, why God had this man of God, this young prophet to marry a woman that's in the street, so he can understand something here. Everything going to start out right. It's going to be good to your time, but you're going to face some things. You're going to go through some stuff because the remnants of the people you connected to are going to bring the same mess back in your life. So their love began to blossom, and God blessed their union with a son. He got his hands on you. How Hosanna's heart must have swelled with joy. He was what? Convinced that his marriage would be better than ever with this little one to brighten their home. So God named the baby, for his name was to have a prophetic significance, what? To the nation. He called him Zebir, because it was at Zebir that the kingdom of Jehoshaphat, great-grandfather, Jehu, had first come to the throne by anomalous crime of bloodshed and violence. While his dynasty was prosperous at the moment, its destruction was on the horizon, and it would happen in the valley of Zebir, according to the book, Hosanna 1, verse 4 through 5, right? Good God Almighty. Y'all got to understand this here. God has a purpose for everything he does. Now, some of you all wondering, why did I marry this person at first? And you got into him with it, and the love that you all shared, and things you was clicking, and everything was happening. And to a time, good God Almighty, there's some things that they can't shake. There's some things in your life that you have not completely come back from, and it comes up, and everything that you have done, it has a remembrance, it has a name, and you need to understand, even with your children that you have born in the relationship, you ought to look at them and look at them in depth now to understand why would this child in remembering me to, why this child brought me to a place like this? This child reminds me of something that I've been through. Oh, Jesus. Something. God has given them a purpose in your life so that you be remembered. If you're listening closer to what God has been trying to tell you, then you can understand the union that you're in today. Oh, y'all don't want to have no church with me here today. So, he tells them, right? It was after the birth of Zariah that Hosanna seed to have noticed a change in Gomer. Oh, good God, man. I'm trying to tell y'all, look at this here. You can look at yourself. She became restless and unhappy. That's a lot of, I got to go here today. If you all miss me in the next women revival, it ain't my fault. Because I'm going to go into great details in this, in the revival, so that women can understand something here. See, this is the reason why this lesson is here today. And I'm not trying to get too deep in it, so try to get there, but you need to find me the next women revival, because I think God is going to release all of this on you. It is forbidden, right? And see, some of the things that was forbidden for you, you indulge in it. And since you indulge in it, you got yourself cursed all up. And since you got yourself to that point, then now you're in relationship. Now you get restless